We are all overwhelmed with tasks and relationships and all the many pressing needs before us, but we don't always know where to begin. Catholic homeschooling coach Emily Brown is here with us today to tell us about the only four problems you'll ever need to solve. Don't miss this.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host. And today, Emily Brown is with us to talk about the only four problems you'll ever need to solve. We're quite serious about that. Emily Brown is a homeschooling mom of seven. She's a former youth minister and has a deep passion for building up the kingdom of God one family at a time. Emily is a life coach for Catholic homeschoolers who want to have more peace and confidence in their vocations as wife, mother, and homeschooler. She has a private coaching practice where she works with mamas one-on-one, as well as a group coaching program called Happy Holy Mama. You can find her on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as her podcast, Happy Holy Mama. And you can also take her free masterclass, The Intro to Loving Your Homeschool Life, on her website, fiatlifecoaching.com. And that's just the way it sounds, and it's in the show notes. Welcome back to the program, Emily.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am always so joyed to have a conversation with you and share whatever is on our hearts with your listeners. They're just an incredible community. So I just thank you all for having me back.
Yeah, they really are. They're all over the world and they're in different stages of homeschooling and life and health and faith and all those things. And what an honor to have this conversation with them and spend a little time just trusting the Lord with these conversations, which we were just talking about. It means a lot to us that you let us kind of talk into your ear a little bit. So I'd like you to start us off, Emily. Tell us a little bit about you and what these lessons mean to you, how they came into being for you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, my name is Emily. I am a Catholic homeschooling mom of seven. My oldest is 16. I guess at the time this airs, he'll be 17 at the moment. my youngest is five, and we have two high schoolers, two middle schoolers, two upper elementary kiddos, and then one who is again, five going on 15. I mean, he's just keeps us all on our toes.
the youngest is always precocious. They
really
think they're teenagers.
Yes. And he's got all the skills to back it up. So it's just, he really does keep us on our toes. It's a lot of fun. We've been homeschooling for a little over 5 years, and we've had our kids in private school, Catholic school, public school. We've done all of it. And really, we just had this tap on our shoulder for years to homeschool our kids. And I think the reason everything was feeling so tricky in all of those other places was because we really were being called to homeschool. And I truly believe that homeschooling is a call from God, and I don't believe everyone is called to it. If you are being called to it and you're not enjoying it, I can help. Like, I think that there's some very simple fixes that can help. I'm a life coach, and so I root everything that I do with my clients in uniting our wills to God's will, having that mindset at all time, being present with Him, accepting His will, but also being action oriented, right? We do want to be moving forward in this. We don't want to just be laying on the couch going, okay, Lord, like, go ahead, sanctify me. I mean, He does, of course, absolutely. But we are being called to do things and to lead other people, the people specifically in our lives that He's placed in our care, to also move toward holiness, to move toward sanctification. So fiat life coaching is to help turn our thoughts and our actions into yeses for God. And it can be really hard to do that when you're bogged down in overwhelm and stress of trying to homeschool and trying to keep the house going and meal planning and making sure, you know, everybody's getting fed, you know, decent meals and nourishing their bodies and their minds. And you're trying to, you know, be a wife and a daughter of God all at the same time. It can be a lot. So over the years of coaching now, using my own experience of stress and overwhelm and doing it really poorly, for many years. I'm not going to say I do it perfectly now, but I do believe that with the tools, the life coaching tools that I have, as well as all this, the strategy tools that I use for managing time and the stuff and, you know, making really confident decisions, like there's just this, all the tools that I have as well, just make it easier. It makes it smoother. To some degree, it is a lot more effortless because of the way that I have taught and trained and raised my older kids now. They are more capable of doing so much more. And so it's not all on me. And so that, you know, really helps alleviate so much of the burden off of my shoulders and even off of my husband's shoulders, because we're all sharing the burden of, you know, keeping our home in order, keeping everyone moving forward in progress. And that's just, so those are all things that I teach my clients how to do. And usually a new client will come to me and overwhelm is almost always listed. I always ask them what their top three emotions are on any given day. And overwhelm is almost always one of those three. I would say like 99% of the time, someone will tell me that they're overwhelmed. And I have found that that's often because we have a lot of thoughts like, I have too much to do and there's not enough time and I'm not organized enough. I'm not patient enough. There's something about me, right? That feels problematic. It feels like I'm not enough of something. I call that the litany of not enough that we like to run through in our brains. And so then we end up having all of those emotions stored up in our body and we're trying to do God's will. We're trying to raise our kids, nourish, you know, educate them, keep our home, you know, flowing, but we're doing all that from overwhelm. We're doing all that from stress and anxiety. And so after again, years of coaching all these mamas, regardless of how long they've been doing it, I have moms who come to me who are brand new in homeschooling, moms who've been doing it for 16, 20 years, and they've never learned these tools. And so I've kind of boiled it down to these four problems that I encounter with moms. And almost always I can attribute like, where are we at right now? If they're having an issue, they're really stuck somewhere, feeling stressed and overwhelmed, having disappointment or discouragement, right? It's usually attributed to one of these four problems. And so that's what I would love to share with you guys today, is what these four problems are.
So good. And I love that there's the you journey, the ongoing journey, which we kind of touched on before we hit record, which is it's so good to be teaching these things and reviewing them because we're always learning and relearning. Anything that's a really great lesson, believe me, it's a lifetime lesson. So it's like be patient with yourself in there too. But I love that on the one hand, it's obedience to God's will. It's that sense of resting that God is taking care of things and that he has a plan, and also our being in action. But how? What are the four places we can focus that yield the greatest results and result in that balance of resting in obedience and taking action in obedience so that we have that clarity? So if you would just list the four things and then I'll take some time with each of them. This is so rich.
That sounds good. So the four problems, and then we can dive into the four solutions. How about that? So the four problems are your relationships might be feeling rocky or challenging, and you have a lot of judgments and expectations. Okay. So like your relationships are feeling really tough and problematic and painful. Okay. The second problem is that you just don't know what to do or where to start because it just feels like there's so much to do. Everything feels really important. You don't make really good decisions. Okay. You might not be decisive. You might be taking too long to make decisions. You might not be making the right decisions. Okay. Or even know how to make a decision. I have a lot of moms who come to me and say, I don't even know like how to make a decision. I spend a lot of time spinning in circles, never really moving forward because I just don't even know how to make a good decision. And then the fourth one is everything feels important, which means nothing is. So we're not really getting anything of importance done. And so we feel like we're not making progress.
I'm like, every one of those touched my core. Mm-hmm. You know, been there, just so human to experience these things. Thank you so much, Emily. Mm-hmm. So let's do what you suggested and go through the solutions.
That sounds good. All right. So the first problem is those relationships. And I want to offer that the reason that our relationships are feeling really rocky is because we likely have them out of right order. And the way that I like to think about right order is the image of a three-tiered fountain. And I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I'm going to say it again because I know that there are new people who have never heard this before. So the way I think about right order is there's this three-tiered fountain, and we have the biggest bowl on the bottom, and then there's a medium-sized bowl in the middle and a little bowl on the top. And the bottom bowl is all the tasks of life. It's everything that we need to do. And then the middle bowl are our relationships with our kids. And the top bowl is our marriage, the relationship we have with our husband. And what we end up doing is we spend a lot of time focused just on the tasks. And we don't think about filling up the pipe that goes up the middle. And so the pipe that goes up the middle is going to be your relationship with yourself, how you think about yourself, how you think and speak to yourself. This is really big. We have a lot of negative self-talk that we just assume is like we're shooting the breeze, like we're just telling the news, we're telling, you know, communicating the weather, like we're just, you know, reporting the weather. That's the word I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And we just say it as if this were fact, as if it were true that I'm not enough, right? Goes back to that litany of not enough. And so what happens is we're trying to prove our worth. We're trying to prove our value by getting all the things done and focusing on the tasks. And what happens is it ends up, we just kind of put leaks in the pipe right up in between the relationship with our husband and our children. And we just kind of pour into the bottom tier. And so we end up getting, we might be getting tasks done. We might not. We might just be swimming around in the bottom tier. It might be like splashing around, making lots of noise, but not really getting a lot done. Or we might be getting really productive, but then our relationships are feeling drained. Our kids aren't getting our best selves. Our husband is getting like the last dregs that might be like spurting up the pipe just from sheer willpower. And so the first solution to those problems of our relationships feeling challenging or painful is actually coming back into right order, learning how to clean up your thoughts about yourself and cleaning up your relationship with the Lord. So that relationship with the Lord is unplugging the pipe, right? Getting really clear and cleaning up those negative thoughts, that negative self-talk, and getting really clear about your worth that comes from the Lord alone. And when you can unplug the pipe, essentially, and seal up those leaks, then you are being able to be filled up with the grace from the Holy Spirit. And then you pour out into your marriage first. That's how a fountain works. It goes out into the top tier first, which is your marriage. And then you pour into your relationship with your marriage. Okay. And I can teach you how to do that. We don't have enough time today, unfortunately, but someday we'll do that. And then you pour out from there, you pour out into your relationship with your children. And from there, you can be, that is so filled up and you're feeling so connected to your husband and to your kids. Then all together, you're pouring out into the tasks. You're getting the things done, the most important things. And so that is the first solution is to love unconditionally. That means without conditions on yourself about what you need to do to prove your worth, but instead really resting in the truth that you are beloved daughter of God. That your husband is a beloved son of God, that your children are beloved children of God, and connecting with the Lord in those relationships in that right order first. So if you are not focused on, if your relationships are feeling problematic and painful, it is likely because your relationships are not coming before the task. So we need to put the relationships before the task and love without condition.
Wow. Wow. And that's obviously a big, mysterious invitation, right? We've probably never, except maybe some beautiful moments of grace in prayer, when do we humanly experience unconditional love? And I'm sure that, you know, there are steps and there's a process. Like, we're not just going to flip a switch and start loving unconditionally. So just say a little bit more about what helps us to move in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to first get really clear about what that litany of not enough is for each person, because it is different. It does sound very familiar. The things that I say that come up for me are things that I hear categorically across all of my clients. Everybody says, you know, I'm not enough. It really does boil down to I'm not enough. Like almost anything out there is I'm not enough. And so if you can really focus on that not being a fact, that it's a thought that you're having, it's not actually a fact, then I think from there, you can you would do the work. And again, that would take so much longer for that. I would love to be able to explain more about that,
but no problem.
Just being aware, I think awareness is absolutely the first step of what your litany of not enough is, what that sounds like to you. And what's that creating for you? Is it creating discouragement? Is it creating overwhelm? Is it creating anxiety and stress? And how is that manifesting in your life? What are you doing? And what are you not doing when you're in that space? And really what you're not doing, that's going to be the key. That's like the thing that you want to highlight and go, oh, this is what I would prefer to be doing instead. So what that might look like in a coaching session could be if a client is telling me what they're doing when they're feeling overwhelmed, right? They're not connecting with their kids. They're not looking them in the eye. They're not pausing. And I call it taking a holy pause. You're not taking a holy pause to check in with the Lord and ask him, okay, what do you want me to do right now? Right. So that's really where we start, is we ask ourselves, what kind of like mental, emotional space are we in? What are we currently doing? And what are we not doing? Mm. And when we're not doing something, that is almost always the thing we would prefer to be doing.
Yeah. So it's a process. And I'm a coach too, and I have coaches of my own, multiple coaches, not that I use them all the time. But sometimes it takes time in a relational exchange like coaching or dear friend or spiritual director to start to see the patterns that you want to disrupt. So I love the way that you think about this, Emily. It's so useful that there are things that we say to ourselves that we take for granted, and those things start the down spiral. And so noticing what it is that is lost by going down that same pattern again and again gets us back to, oh, wait, I have agency here. I can choose to spend time looking my children in the eyes. I can stop what I'm doing and stop worrying and just go listen to a kid or look at that cute drawing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Just the holy pause is a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So where would you like to take us next?
All right. So problem number two is I don't know what to do or where to start. Okay. And again, we say this as if it were true. We say this as if it were a fact.
Right.
And it's like kind of one of my favorite things to go, that's a thought. That's not a fact. And it's so funny to see the reactions on my clients' faces. They're like, oh my gosh, you're right. And so we just get really curious about, well, what do you know? And the thing that I think is most beneficial when you're trying to figure out what to do or where to start is to define your goal. Like, what do you want to create by all the things you want to do? What's the thing you actually want to create at the end? What's the outcome you're hoping to create? And then what's your job? So the way that I sum that up is define your goal and your role. Okay, so what is the thing you want to create at the end? And what's your job to get there? What are the jobs of your kids? Like if you need to enroll your kids in helping to get ready for a vacation, for example, this comes up a lot, or even just to get out the door in the morning. Like if you're going to co-op and you know, you just need to get out the door, right? You might be thinking about what's the goal. Our goal is to maybe get to co-op on time. Okay, we want to get to the co-op at this time. And in order to do that, here are all the jobs that we need to do, right? So these are all who's going to do them, right? We need to define the goal is getting out the door at this specific time so that we have this much time to travel. And that means my job is to organize the troops, or it's to pack the lunches, or it's to delegate someone else to pack those lunches for us. We want to make sure we've packed all of the backpacks and the things that we need to take with us, music, instruments, whatever it is. And we want to make sure that we have defined very clearly, not just for ourselves, but also to our kids, and to tell them what their job is. Because as soon as they know what their job is, they also know that they're done. Okay. If they know when they're done, because we've defined what the goal is, then they can say, oh, okay, well, okay, not everybody's kid is going to do this. But I like to give the example that most of the time, most of our children, when they are in, you know, a good headspace, okay, there's a lot of unconditional love happening along this, but in conjunction with all these other steps, but traditionally, historically, hopefully, when our kids know, oh, this is my job, right? When you tell them this is your job, and then you get to be done, right? Then they know exactly what to do. They know exactly how to know that they are done. And then they get to either go rest, they get to go, or you can go sit in the car. You can, here's the things you can do when you're done.
It's defining success.
It really is. Too. Yes.
You know, absolutely. They know, yeah, I did it. And I pleased my mother and I accomplished something and I can do it. Good things.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're connecting with them throughout this, right, then also they don't worry that their worth is dependent on doing it right. Right. We want to be able to connect with them and love them unconditionally and say, okay, this is the goal. Right. But I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to show you love. I'm still going to show you kindness, even if you like forget, even if you dilly-dally, so that comes back to that first step that we have to do is really understanding what's within our control and what's not by cleaning up those relationships. So I want to encourage moms to kind of understand that we want to be doing that first step of loving unconditionally and putting those relationships before the task all the time. And we're going to lace that in and interweave that into all of these other steps.
So good.
Because when we are worried about being late, we take it out on our kids, mm-hmm. right? We worry about what other people are going to judge us for, what they're going to think if we're late again. And if our kid didn't come with, shoes or a coat or something, and it's, January, we're worried there. We're just so worried about what other people are going to think. And we end up taking all of that on and we put a lot of pressure in just the preparation to leave the door. So being able to really define what our goal is, not just getting there on time, but also getting there on time with peace, right? We want to get there on time but more importantly, we want to get there intact, right? Mm-hmm. Not just physically safe, but emotionally and spiritually safe as well, right? So we want to be bringing that unconditional love into every single step.
Yeah. And I love what you said too. There's a key concept that you just touched on that's so important in this hyper productive, mm-hmm. show offy comparison world that puts so much pressure on everybody, that it's not the task that makes you worthwhile and worthy of my love. There's a direct connection, obviously, with their relationship to God there, mm-hmm. that can get damaged in our human moments where we blow it, right? Yeah. But we can know that the Lord will make up for where we lack and all of that, and we can keep trying and do it better. But mm-hmm. that gives us a motivation point. What's the lesson in loving this kid through the bumpy, awkward phase of getting good at your role, defining that goal and role, starting with the unconditional love, defining goals and roles so they know how they can succeed with your help?
Yeah, exactly. And that they're not alone.
Yeah. So good. So good. This is a very isolating world. Yeah. And this is such an important topic. We are going to take a really short sponsor break to hear from our wonderful support at Homeschool Connections. And we'll be right back with Emily Brown talking about the only four problems you'll ever need to solve. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now back to our program.
All right, we're back with Emily Brown talking about the only four problems you'll ever need to solve. And we've talked first, Emily, you've talked so beautifully about unconditional love and defining goals and roles. Mm-hmm. What's that third problem that we need to solve? Well, what's the third solution, I guess, is where we are at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. So the third problem that we tend to face is not being able to make decisions in the moment. And one of the reasons that we're not being able to make good decisions in the moment, and we feel like we just can't make decisions at all, is because we are trying to do that when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling stressed out, and when our emotions are high, we're like stuck and buried in those negative emotions, and our intellect is low. So we are not creatively problem solving in the moment. And so my solution for that is helping my clients learn how to make decisions ahead of time. And what that does is you decide ahead of time all the steps, the things that you want to be doing, and you know, how you, I have them think about what are some obstacles that might come up and even problem solve around that ahead of time as best as we can. And then what that does is you have those decisions already made ahead of time. You know that you can implement those decisions, and that frees up brain space in the moment to creatively problem solve. It helps you come back into right order. It helps you remember, oh, I'm too busy focused on all the tasks. I need to connect with my kids, or I need to calm down, take that holy pause, right? It just helps us to kick our intellect back into gear so that we can decide, where am I at in this process and what do I need to do next? So making decisions ahead of time is really, I would say, vital to like maintaining our peace and protecting our peace.
Yeah. Could you give an example of the kinds of decisions typically that are really helpful to have already thought through before mm-hmm. you're under pressure?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back into the leaving the house example. So if we know we're going to be going to co-op on Monday morning and we are going to need to leave the house at 7:40 to get there by 8:00, right? Then making decisions the night before or even the week before of what are some things that we're, I really recommend the week before, just so that we can kind of know, okay, maybe I need to go to the grocery store. You know, maybe I need to get things that we're out of these things, so that we can look ahead and say, oh, we're going to need that for co-op for lunches, you know, that morning, you know, or, you know, looking through the kids' assignments and what are they going to need to have prepared so that we can kind of deconstruct the goal, right? So we know what the goal is. We know what everybody's job is. But we also need to make the decisions ahead of time about when we're going to do the grocery shopping. When are we going to pack those lunches? When we are tired on Sunday night, we're like, I don't want to make those lunches tonight. We'll just make them in the morning. And what we're doing is we're not supporting that future self of ours Monday morning, who's likely going to be stressed and overwhelmed. Right. We kind of give into the comfort of wanting to relax and not do an uncomfortable thing in that moment on Sunday night by packing the lunches, and we put it off for later. So then when we're in the moment of trying to make those decisions and the moment of when and how we need to do it, we're trying to keep track of all the things and all the decisions we need to make. You know, what do you mean you can't find your shoe? And what do you mean, you know, you can't find your homework? And, you know, what do you mean you can't find your lunchbox? You know, we've already thought of those things ahead of time. We already have thought of those could be obstacles Monday morning. And so we make the decision maybe Sunday night or Friday morning, like for Sunday night, we're going to sit down. We're going to work together as a team, as a family. I really love to build up the team atmosphere of the family. And we're going to set time aside to get all those things ready Sunday night. And I know at the beginning of the year, everybody is really on board with this idea. But in March and April, we are like so done. We are just so done with trying to do it and it's not working out. And we tell ourselves, why bother? And we don't, you know, we really don't follow through with all of that. So making the decision ahead of time of what, how you want to get there, right? Because again, our goal is to get there with peace and intact. And so we want to make decisions that are going to help us reach that particular goal.
Yeah. And if you've been doing your best to keep loving them through it all, yeah, defining their goals and roles and making those decisions where they can fall into line with their goals and roles, then you start to see that there's a framework here of being very kind of conscious and compassionate, giving everybody time to know and to think about it and to try things on and to be learning together without the stakes being quite so high.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very, our home is a very low risk environment for our kids to learn in and to make mistakes, but we don't really treat it as a low risk environment. We treat it like there's a lot of risk involved. So we put a lot of stress and pressure on our kids to perform and to succeed at the things we tell them to do so that we can be more comfortable. It feels very uncomfortable to remind them 900 times to do something. And so a shift that I've made for myself personally, to love myself and to love my children unconditionally in each of these steps, is reminding my children is a gift that I give myself. Reminding my husband of what I need and where I'm at is a gift that I give to myself. So I just wanted to throw that in there. It's like a little bonus thing that I wasn't planning on saying, but I think the Holy Spirit's like, you all need to hear this right now.
Yes. Yes. No, I agree 100%. We don't give ourselves enough compassion because we don't take the holy pauses and check in What is it that I need? What can I ask for so I'm setting the people up around me for success, not failure? Mm-hmm. Because we can be, when we're emotional and overwhelmed, we can get kind of irrational, right? We can get angry with the people around us because they're not intuiting our needs, especially with women, because many of us are intuitive. We sort of just figure everybody else is on the same wavelength sometimes without really thinking it through. But you're setting people up for success by saying, hey, I, in a place of respect and love and compassion for them too, here's exactly what I need from you.
Yeah, exactly. And then again, when we're navigating those obstacles ahead of time and making decisions on how we want to show up in that moment, then we are, you know, deciding to have our own back, right? We're deciding to kind of be our own best friend in that moment. And so one of the things I might say is like, if I have to remind them, I'm going to do it with respect, right? That is just, it's a boundary that I have for myself. And that's a decision that I've made ahead of time, that regardless of what other people are going to do and how they're showing up and whether or not they're dilly-dallying or they're distracted or they've completely forgotten the thing, I will ask them and I will always use a tone of respect. And mm-hmm. So if I can know that, and that's just my go-to decision that I have made, I just need to implement, right? Then I have to like settle down into respect into my body first so that I can deliver it with respect. And it just keeps me in that respectful, peaceful, calmer state. So this is one of the ways that we support ourselves in the future is also deciding how do I want to show up with them when they're being normal children or when my husband's being a normal man or whatever is going on.
Yeah. Which doesn't make us failures. That's another place where those negative messages can pop up. When someone else is, if we feel like they're letting us down, we start to think there's something wrong with us.
Yes. And it goes back into the litany of not enough.
100%. All right, good. So unconditional love, defining goals and roles, deciding ahead of time.
Yes. So the fourth one is if you're trying to do too many things, okay, so everything feels important, which means nothing is. And so the solution for that really is focusing on the essentials, right? Which ties into the third one, which is making those decisions ahead of time. What is essential? Because in the moment, everything feels very important. Okay. The way that our brains are so powerful, things that you just see sitting on the counter and all the clutter, like none of that felt like a problem the night before. And then suddenly it's Monday morning and you're trying to get out the door and you can't find your keys. And suddenly you're just furious and in a rage about all the clutter on the counter. Like our brains are so powerful and they love to distract us. And so being able to focus on the essentials, like, nope, actually that's not a problem right now. The thing I actually need to be solving is, you know, focusing on implementing the decisions that I made already. Or, you know, making sure that we are only working toward this goal and that everybody understands their job, right? Something I say all the time is tell the people. You have to tell the people what we're focusing on, what their job is, and how they're going to know that they're done. And when we all do that, we can work together as a team. We can all focus on those most important, those essential things. And we've already decided what our priorities are, those essential things, then the beautiful thing is that we get the most important things done. And then we are able to say yes to those most important things, the things that the Lord is really and truly tapping us on the shoulder to take care of, which allows us to say no to everything else, at least in that moment, and to either delegate, delay, or delete it completely if it's not actually going to fit within that, that goal, if it's not actually within our job, or if it's not something that is actually important, it's not actually important for us to be doing. So we just have the mindset of being able to make good decisions about what's important in this moment and maybe what's not.
Yeah, I love what Stephen Covey said about the good sometimes being the enemy of the best, because there are so many good things out there. We could say yes to them all and be completely stressed out, not do anything well, always be exhausted. But no, you're talking about what's essential for us, for this family in this season. What are we going to give our wholehearted, focused yes to? So we got to say no to some things.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, about the trade-offs. And really, I'm saying yes to this, so it means I'm saying no to that. I'm trading this good, and it's okay. I'm saying no to this good for now. It doesn't mean forever. It just means for now.
Yeah, such great points. Such great points. Now, you've got resources at your website, and I want to give you a chance to just say whatever else is on your heart to share with us, Emily, about this, because we've had you on a couple times before. I'll have those links in the show notes. It's always so just positive and practical. It's always so helpful every time you tackle a topic for us. I love the way you break it down and make it real for us. So what else is in the hopper and where else can we kind of find you and be blessed by your work?
Thank you. I'm just so grateful again to be here and to be able to share all of this with your listeners. So the thing I would love to leave everybody with is that when you know what these four problems are, then you can also see what these solutions are, right? So we need to love unconditionally. We need to define our goals and roles. We need to make decisions ahead of time as often as possible, because it does free up that brain space for creative problem solving in the moment and focusing on the essentials. And so when you do that, really the result of all of that, really what you create in your life is being able to focus on what's within your control and allowing God to be God. Allowing God to really and truly be in control, be the master, the creator, the controller, and allowing Jesus to be the savior. I think a lot of times we carry all of that around on us. We try to like save all the people. We try to do all the things. We really don't allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord and savior of us or our children. So it really does help us to rest back into that right ordered relationship with the Lord first and foremost. So that's really what I see as being the ultimate outcome of focusing on these four solutions, and really being able to have, kind of like I said earlier, more effortless. I'm not going to necessarily say that everything becomes effortless, but it is more effortless, just flow of your day, right? It's getting out the door smoother, getting your homeschooling done smoother, getting the things of life done smoother. It becomes a little bit more effortless when everyone understands what we're doing, what their jobs are, how they're going to know they're done, and what they get to say yes and no to. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, really, I think just resting back into that as being the primary thing that we want to create with these is so important. What I have noticed when you're first getting started with these is that it can be really challenging to understand like what's a problem and what's not. And so I'm going to be taking that deeper into the into a workshop that I'm hoping to teach for the Catholic Homeschool Conference later this year. I believe it's going to be in June here in 2024. So make sure you check the dates for that, because that might be different. So that's a workshop that I'm hoping to teach is going to be going deeper into these four problems and these four solutions, and then giving a little bit more understanding of when you're first getting started with this, if you encounter some struggles with, you know, being able to tell the difference between what's a problem, what's not, and so much more. I'm going to include so much more into that workshop, but make sure you come and join us for the conference for that. And then the other thing, the resources, you already mentioned I have a free masterclass called the Intro to Living Your Homeschool Life. I also have a new masterclass that I did, earlier this past fall. It's called How to Stop Yelling and Start Connecting. And it's been such a powerful class for people to be taking. I've had so much good feedback from it. So I would like to invite your listeners. You can go and watch the replay of that. And I will make sure that Lisa has a link for you in the show notes for here.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Emily. Emily has become a real treasured regular at Homeschool Connections events. So expect to see her again and again in the future. And do reach out to Emily at fiatlifecoaching.com and check out these great masterclasses that are helping so many moms, and share them around. You know, you find something of value, do share it. Be an advocate for other moms. And let's all just have more peace, more of a sense of right order in our lives. And Emily, thank you so much for making the time. I know you're super busy, but we love having you.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me be here. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be here.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. May God bless your day with peace, with right order. Thanks for listening. And please pray for us. We are praying for you too. God bless you. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.